This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
This insert sponsored by Mana Health Products, the only 100% natural organic supplement for blood sugar control. Hooray! It's a Thursday. That means it's time with Dr. Wendy Christen, health coach and wellness practitioner at Integrated Health Solution. Good morning, Dr. Wendy. How are the stress levels?
Good morning, Brad. Not too bad yet. The day hasn't really started yet. For now, we're doing well.
Good. It's funny the things that trigger us, something in the traffic. We all have kind of a weak point, don't we? The kind of thing that rubs us up the wrong way that sets us off.
Absolutely.
Today, we're wrapping up what has been a month-long conversation. Well, actually quite longer than that because you took a break for a bit of a vacation in the middle. So this feels like we've been chatting about this for a long time, but so important. Please go back and check our podcast. You'll find parts 1 through 4 of stress awareness. Today, looking at ways that we can boost our mental health and our cognitive function. Help us to understand the connection between these things and managing our stress, Wendy.
Well, if we think about how stress influences our bodies, we have that fight or flight response that we've spoken about. We also have a flood of cortisol and adrenaline, which happens when our bodies are stressed. And there's this disruption between the neurotransmitters that are produced, and we're looking at the gut-brain axis connection as well. So if we have stress and all of those, all of those chemical reactions are happening in our bodies, then our mental health is going to be affected as well. So, you know, we're going to struggle and concentrate. We're going to potentially be forgetful. We might be overstimulated, so we might be anxious. So there's all sorts of different things that can be happening, and it happens in different ways for different people. So, you know, I think we just have to realize that we are interconnected. Our systems are all connected. We can't separate them out. And if we are putting pressure on one system, it's definitely going to have an impact on several other functions in our bodies as well.
Yeah. And there are things we can do that aren't complicated that are actually quite fun. Although there is one here on this list that I don't think I would raise my hand for. But there are certain things that we could do every day that are not complicated or necessarily even expensive that would need us to go and see a healthcare professional where we can just calm ourselves down. But I think, Wendy, we don't deem that as important enough. So we go and do things like, I'm just going to plonk on the couch and watch TV and hope that somehow that's going to de-stress us, when we really could be more intentional about the activities we choose to pursue to manage our stress better.
I agree with you there, Brad. I think sometimes we want to escape, so we just think, well, switching off or watching TV or just, you know, vegging is going to be the answer. And we can make excuses like, I don't have the time. But we do have time to sit on the couch and watch TV, and we do have time to do the things that we want to do. So we can actually make the time for these things. And it just becomes part of our habits. And habits you need to practice. So yes. If you don't do something for a while, it can't become a habit. So I think it is just about realigning our values and having a look at what is important and what are we going to do to help ourselves. Because as you said, it doesn't need to be expensive. There's things that we can do daily, and there's things that we can do for ourselves that are really beneficial.
There's one thing that I'm seeing all over social media, and even one or two of the mentors that I have in my life recommend this, and then I just sort of look the other way. But this is what I was mentioning earlier. Cold water immersion. I always feel like we'll just leave that for the other people. But there are such serious benefits from that.
There absolutely are, and I'm totally with you on that. That's one that I cannot get my head around. And I have friends that love it and are, you know, absolutely exhilarated by it. But cold water immersion can lower cortisol and it can boost our dopamine production. It's also very good for vagal tone. And our vagus nerve plays a very big role in our again, that gut-brain connection, but in many of our cognitive functions as well, and all sorts of other things in the body. It's an incredible nerve. And the cold water immersion really helps with that. But it helps us to be able to calm the nervous system down because, you know, when you get into a cold bath or a cold, you know, cold shower, cold sea, something like that, your breath is taken away and you have to regulate your breathing to be able to get it back down to normal in that cold, stressful circumstance. And that's where the calming effect comes in, because you are able to regulate that stress response, and you're able to increase dopamine production, which gives you that overall sense of well-being.
And to our listeners this morning, it's saying, okay, what's cortisol now again? Please go and check out part one, and you get a whole explanation there and what some of the effects are, or the negative effects of having those high cortisol levels. I ran into some people over summertime when we went to the beach on a bit of a family outing on the South Atlantic, and these guys come down every morning. We were there early to make sure you're there before the crowds, Wendy. And these guys, they just grab a cup of coffee and they'll bring their dog, and the dog parks off on the beach and they go into that freezing cold water. And it's a habit. They said it's what they do every single morning. And I think you get used to it if that's the thing that you choose. I know there are other things as well, but if we build in that habit and we do it regularly, it just becomes, it's part of what we do. And then we start to really see the benefits. Because if you go and do it once a month, it's not really going to do what we're hoping it will do.
No, it does need to be done fairly regularly. And look, there are caps on it. There's a certain amount of time, maximum time you should be spending in the water, because obviously you can become hypothermic as well. So there are risks involved. But it is something that you build up. You build up tolerance for it. And people get, they become quite addicted to doing this, because it gives them such a feel good. It's like running marathons. Also, not something that I can really understand, but it starts producing those kind of feel good hormones and endorphins and brain chemicals that make you want to keep doing it. And it is invigorating and beneficial for the body.
And what about for those who are busy pulling their nose up at the idea of ice cold water, particularly on a day like today? There are other things we can do. What is something else that you and I or others could do that would help to reduce stress? That's a little practical thing we could do.
Well, one thing that I haven't put on this list, but that is the opposite of the cold water immersion, is Epsom salts baths. So if we have a nice warm bath with Epsom salts in it, that can be quite nice as well and relaxing, and helps for good sleep. So for those of us that prefer the warm water, then you can do the Epsom salts baths to help for the nervous system.
That sounds nice. What about some other practices that we could do?
So journaling and practicing gratitude also help to shift our focus away from our stresses. Often when we have a lot of stress, we have a lot of thoughts going around in our heads, and we can have these very busy brains, which can make it really difficult to switch off. And so writing those thoughts down, it doesn't have to be in any specific order. You can just write on paper. I had one client that said, but she likes her journal to be neat. I said, well, then pick a journal that you can just scribble in, and then you can rewrite it neatly in your neat journal. So, it just is about getting the thoughts and those feelings onto paper, because when you can put them in front of you, your perspective can change. And so that really can be very beneficial.
I had a colleague here that was on the breakfast show with me for a few years, and she was a music therapist, and she was sharing again. I happened to be at an event where she was a guest speaker, and she was talking about the effect that it had on she was working specifically with patients that were having mental health struggles, and the music therapy that she did with them, and how that had a massively positive impact on their well-being. And of course, it also encouraged her when she could see the changes in people to just do more of that.
Absolutely. That is a really beneficial treatment. And something, again, you can look for music, calming music, that you can download yourself. So you don't necessarily have to go to a therapist, but it can be incredibly beneficial if you do it alongside a therapist as well. You have calming music. Obviously, you have all these meditative type of musics as well that you can listen to. There's a specific beat that can help to regulate our brain waves, and some can be stimulatory and some can be calming. So the type of music that we're listening to can really have an impact on our nervous systems as well.
And then we can't chat about this enough. We touch on it regularly, just having a good sleep routine.
Yeah. So sleep is absolutely vital for our mental health and to help us manage stress. And it's often the thing that goes first, because those busy brains that we were speaking about can prevent us from switching off, or we can stay up too late. Our cortisol and our sleep-wake cycle can be disrupted. And so we might have trouble falling asleep and then trouble waking up in the morning. But making sure that we are implementing that healthy routine, getting into a rhythm where we are avoiding screens before bedtime, having a consistent schedule. We can use magnesium or chamomile tea. There's all sorts of herbal remedies that you can use at bedtime to help you to unwind, to be able to calm your brain enough so that you can switch off and go to sleep.
Yeah, thanks so much, Winnie. That's all we've got time for this morning. I think one of the other things as well that we could have touched on this morning was breathing. But if you go back and check out part 3 of our stress awareness conversation, you'll get everything you need there when it comes to mindful breathing. So go check that out as well. Dr. Wendy has given us plenty of ammunition against what I think is one of the things we have to deal with in modern society, and that is stress. You'll have 5 different episodes to go and check out, all on our website or on our app. So just go and click on the podcast, find Get Up and Go Breakfast, and look for Dr. Wendy Christin, and you'll get everything you need right there, all up, including till today. A massive thanks, Wendy, for working with us through this series. We look forward to what you've got for us next week.
Great. Thanks, Brad. Have a lovely Thursday and keep warm and dry.
We will. Thank you so much. That's the lovely Dr. Wendy Christin, health coach and wellness practitioner at Integrated Health Solution. If you need to see her, you just Google Integrated Health Solution, Dr. Wendy Christin, Christien, and you go and make an appointment and you go and see her.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.